I'll be honest with you, I don't understand. We just get done with that, and you guys go like silent, like somebody hit the mute button. I don't know. It's, you want to hear me? Now, come on, let's be honest here. It's like, I'm glad you want to hear me, but man, that was good. I'm like ready to go now, and I'm like, well, I can't keep quiet, and it's a good thing because I'm not going to keep quiet for today. Hey, will you guys pray with me before we get this message started? And I'll be selfish here. Pray with me, but pray for me, because this is one of those messages that can be a little hard to deliver. And I've had some people say, man, we're praying for you because we know what this message is about. So pray with me, pray for me, that God really expand us. Heavenly Father, Lord God, open our ears, open our hearts, Lord God. Lord, you are not a God that comes to us in pieces, Lord God. We are not a people that is to worship you segmented or in pieces. And Lord God, we are not a follower of you that can say, hey, I will read this part of the Bible and not this part. Lord God, challenge us through the good times, through the bad times, through the easy stuff, through the hard stuff. Lord God, we will speak your word. So Lord God, open our ears and open our hearts. And Lord God, help us to understand and comprehend just a little more the amount of love that you have for each one of us. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agree with that, say amen. Awesome. Awesome morning so far. I've been excited about this day, this morning since about Wednesday. I don't know why God was just building in it. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what has already happened. If God has spoken to you, amen. If God's touched your life already this morning, that is awesome. God is in the business of touching our lives. He's in the business of moving us into places that he desires us to be. This morning, we are going to be continuing with this series, the Sermon on the Mount. And if you have missed any, if you've been gone, if you just want to re-listen to certain things, get on our website at bridgehelena.com. Not only for that reason, but just get on our website. Just kind of cruise around it and look at it and get the feel for it. I love where our website is headed. It's just fun to watch it all come together. Now, I warned you last week before I got started, and even while I was up here teaching, and I'm gonna tell you again that today we continue on with another one of Christ's teachings found in the Sermon on the Mount that can be confusing, and it can be a little difficult to hear, depending on where you're at right now, depending on your background, depending on what you feel like life is throwing at you. But here's what I need you guys to understand this morning. Please understand it, that today in no way, in absolutely no way, do I want to come across as being a condemning person, a know-it-all, or a judgmental person when we talk about this topic. We need to understand that these are, in fact, the teachings of Jesus. And we can't pick and choose, and we can't run from certain things. We need the whole teaching of Jesus. It's his plan and his principles, and they are for, besides other things, our overall health and wellness, spiritually as well as physically and emotionally. How many of you guys in here believe that God desires us to be healthy and whole? He doesn't just kind of bring us along part way and say, you know what, I'm calling you to a broken life. I'm calling you to a life of conflict. I'm calling you to a life of indecision. I'm calling you to a life of sickness, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. No, that's not what God does. He wants us to be whole, and he wants us to be wholesome, and he wants us to be healthy. I don't know. I don't know all of your pasts in here. I know some of your guys' past. I know some of your guys' history, but I don't know it all. But here's the thing. Regardless, I want you to know that this message is from this day forward, right? When we deliver a message like last week or this week, I don't want you dwelling in the past and beating yourself up, because I don't believe that's what God desires of us. He desires us to come to him, to have a relationship with him, to be guided by him, and to flourish from this day forward. So let's think from this day forward. Our past is our past, and although there are things that we still need to deal with in our past, we are not to live in our past. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew 5. We're going to be focused on verses 31 and 32, but we're also going to be flipping ahead in Matthew to chapter 19 in a bit. Now today, our teaching and what we're looking at is when Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, discussed the topic of divorce. And I believe that it is a very relevant and important topic for today and the culture that we live in. I believe it's also an important topic for those inside the church as well as those outside the church, right? Sometimes we segment things and we have Sunday mornings where it's really geared toward inside the church things. And then there's other times we have messages that deal with, say, evangelism or the opportunities that God places in our lives to share Christ with those who don't know him yet. And that's very much geared toward those outside the church. Sermon on the Mount, especially today, I believe it's both. It's for us to hear right now, hear those that are inside the church, but we also take these principles and this understanding so that we can apply it to the outside culture, right? We need to have an understanding. We can segment ourselves and say, oh, well, that's just them, and they act like that, and why do they act like that, and those bozos, and be judgmental and things, but we need to start incorporating them into us and see how that all mixes together for the number one reason that we can affect them more toward Christ, right? So take this with that understanding. This is inside, outside the church. I also believe we need to talk about divorce because really marriage is the picture and the example of Christ and his church. Anybody ever hear, hey, Jesus is coming back for his bride, right? The marriage supper of the Lamb, and it's just this beautiful picture of marriage. Earthly marriage doesn't establish what God is going to do. Rather, God's idea of marriage and how he does things establishes and is to reflect what we are to do. So in your Bibles, turn to Matthew 5. We're going to be in verse 31 and 32. Here is what it says. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Flip that slide. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So we can read this and be like, whoa, let's just get on with it. Let's just skip to next week. I know what next week is. It's about oaths and things like that. Let's move on here. But let's not do that. This morning, let's just linger here just a little bit. Let's start out at the beginning here, because we got to get an established beginning before this ever makes total sense, right? So God's plan was, and God's plan and standard for marriage is still for marriage to be one man and one woman joined together for life, dissolved only by death. That is God's plan. In Genesis 2:24, we see God ordaining marriage and family as the first and most important institution on earth. Did you know that? We can learn so much about life today by going all the way back to the beginning in Genesis. So marriage is incredibly important to God. Genesis 2:24 says this, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It is important. It's God's desire. Now, becoming one flesh, that's important here. That's a key phrase. See, this is a unity that goes far beyond the physical. It's also a unity in the emotional and spiritual realms. And as a side note, this is why premarital and casual sex is so dangerous and damaging. It may feel good at the moment, however, it causes ongoing emotional and spiritual and sometimes even physical problems, doesn't it? So we have to understand that God has a plan, and it's not just rules again. He has a plan because he desires for us to become healthy and wholesome. right? That is God's plan. If we could just grab onto God's plan and hold fast to God's plan and really jump in and go through the motions of his plan, man, we would all live a life that's very differently. We would see culture change into something that's incredibly special and again, healthy. See, God's plan for his glory and our well-being is that wholesome and healthy marriage. And I will say a good marriage, it is unbeatable when it comes to walking through life. Walking through life isn't easy. There's a lot of curveballs. There's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of things that we just have to deal with. We just have to deal with it. But when we have a healthy marriage and a helpmate and a spouse that we can just get in touch with and do life with, things change dramatically. See, a good marriage is also unbeatable when it comes to raising a family, isn't it? It takes a mom and a dad to raise a family. And there's single moms out here and there's single dads out here. And praise God that you're in that role and everything. But God's plan really is a mom and a dad in unity with God to raise a family. And I think we can all agree on this. A good marriage is God-focused, it's equally yoked, and it does follow the examples of Scripture. Hear that? How cool is that? And let me tell you this, a good marriage produces that, right? Seriously, it does. And a good marriage, a godly marriage gets people in here and they bring their kids and all of a sudden we have loudness from down there. And what an awesome thing. I love that. If we lose that in this church, we might as well shut our doors. So let's celebrate how loud they are. So cool. Oh, so cool. So, you know, the reality is that not all marriages, and unfortunately, they don't always follow these principles. So we see Jesus teaching and expanding upon what has really become in this day and age the go-to resolution of a troubled marriage, and that's divorce. Unfortunately, it's one of those things, hey, we're married now, but we can be divorced at any time, and this whole mindset. That is so cool. I love it. What a perfect day for them to be yelling to, right? So flip over to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to be starting in verse 3 because Jesus expands a little bit of the teaching in Matthew 19, verse 3. It says this, "And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking," how many times do we see this? How many times do we see the Pharisees trying to entrap Jesus or test him in certain ways? Whenever I read that, when a Pharisee is coming to kind of challenge Jesus' teaching or test him and things like that, I'm like, man, I really want to read this. This is something that I want to hear. So as Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Well, then why did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send them and to send her away?" So they're asking Jesus, they're challenging Jesus on this topic. And when Jesus gives them the right answer, the answer that is from his wisdom and should have penetrated their heart, they're like, yeah. Okay, well then what about this? Watch this. We're going to trick Jesus. We're going to entrap him. We're ready for him this time. We're going to throw this out here. What about Moses? Why did Moses do these things? Verse 8, it says, Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. 10. The disciples said to him, now this is his disciples, right? This is not the Pharisees. Now the disciples are coming to him and saying, and they had to do that every once in a while, right? They're like, Jesus, we heard what you had, but we're confused. We need to clarify this. So the disciples always go to him and say, but what's really going on here? The disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs. Blows my mind. I don't know where that's going. For the sake of the kingdom of heaven, let the one who is able to receive this receive this. So the answer when dealing with this topic of divorce, the disciples are kind of saying, well then the best way to avoid divorce is to not get married in the first place, right? I don't believe that's God's idea, and I don't believe that's what he wants us to do. And Jesus expresses and teaches them and says, well, you know, there are eunuchs. You know, you got everybody in here know what a eunuch is? Okay. There's those guys, and they're able to do it. And maybe they were born that way. Maybe somebody did it to them. Maybe they did it to themselves for the thinking where their place in the kingdom was. But Jesus is saying, man, if they can do it, let them do it. But this is my plan. Marriage is my plan. So the problem here is with the disciples saying, well, if we're not supposed to get divorced, then let's not get married in the first place, right? Well, If church is going to be rough and God's really going to challenge me and possibly call me into missions and send me to Africa, well, then I just shouldn't go to church in the first place, right? It's that same reasoning. That doesn't make any sense. So Jesus is saying, no, marriage is good. Marriage is good. The alternative to divorce is not being married. The alternative to divorce is God's principles on marriage, right? And here are the nuts and bolts and the view of marriage. First off, he is all for it. God is all for marriage. It's his idea, it's his creation, and it's his intention. Second, a godly marriage is the foundation for a godly and healthy family. It is. The marriage itself, in our families, it flows out of the marriage. If mom and dad are godly and getting along, then a lot of the family stuff, that those kids are going to feel secure. Does that mean if you have a godly marriage, your kids are going to turn out perfect? Absolutely not. They have their own choice. But it sure is a good foundation, and it sure is a good basis. Third, Moses allowed for a certificate of divorce because of the hard, rebellious hearts of the people. Now understand this, not because it was God's will or idea. Divorce was never God's will or idea, but because these people were hard-hearted, it's just like, oh my gosh, we got to do this now. And Moses said, well, I guess I need to do it in this aspect and allow for this. So we know that God does desire marriages, but that doesn't mean that marriages are always healthy. I think we can all understand that just because two people are married, it doesn't always mean that there is a healthy aspect to that marriage. And, you know, being a pastor and even coming out of more of a campus ministry with that age group of people, and, you know, those people tend to like to get married and they get excited about getting married and everything. Performing enough weddings and things like that, I can honestly say to you that a good marriage starts with a good engagement. We got to understand that a good marriage starts with a good engagement. Unfortunately, far too many engaged couples focus so much on the wedding and not necessarily on the marriage. It's all about this day. Let's get ready for this day. What are you going to wear? Where's the venue going to be? Who's going to perform it? What's the flowers going to look like? What's the colors going to look like? Do we really have to go to premarital counseling? Well, if Jason's going to require us to do premarital counseling, then maybe we should just find somebody else. We could just find a judge, right? Hey, this is Montana. Anybody can marry anybody, right? Let's focus on the wedding. Problem is when we only focus on the wedding, we kind of forsake the marriage from then on forward. See, far too many people go into marriage with this mindset that, hey, you know what? We'll try it. We will try it. If it doesn't work out, there's an easy out. We can get a divorce. We'll just irreconcilable differences. We'll just both go our own ways. We'll kind of pretend like it never happened, right? That's too much of the attitude today. I want to tell you right now that when a couple goes into a marriage with that mindset, even a little percentage of that mindset, it dooms the marriage from the start. It dooms it from the start because it allows that door to be cracked. It allows that opening and that out. I'll be honest with you, and there's people in here that have been married a whole lot longer than I have. Somebody just had a anniversary, didn't they, Mel? And we had Sandy and Ralph this last summer, 50 years. Oh, my goodness, 50 years of marriage? That's a long marriage. And I could ask them, and they're going to agree. And we've been married, what, 15 years? What is it, 20-something and 25? I don't know. You know, you tend to forget until those big numbers come up. And we've been married long enough, though, that I can stand up here and say, marriage is hard. Marriage is not easy. Some of you guys have been married here for a year or less than a year or a couple years or 10 years or 40 years or 50 years. And you guys can say, you know what? Marriage is hard. It's good. It's great. There's so much good going on. But boy, there are some times that marriage is flat out hard. Still, there are other times when a marriage takes a bad turn due to unforeseen reasons. There can be all sorts of reasons, and all of a sudden this marriage takes this turn, and it's just like, man, they love each other, but they don't like each other. And man, you're not thinking divorce, you're thinking homicide in some of these situations. And hey, I'm a pastor, I get to be in between some of those situations, and it's a crazy place. Maybe it's an abusive situation. Maybe they've just grown apart. But sometimes there are times that marriages can seem hopeless. Regardless, God's ultimate plan for a marriage is to be healthy until death do you part. That's his will. That is his desire. The reason I am talking so much about marriage today is because I believe the best way to prevent divorce is not by not getting married in the first place. It's to live and promote a godly and healthy marriage. See, divorce is one of those weird things where you know, you have some people now, because they've watched their parents or grandparents go through divorce, they're like, well, I never want to get a divorce. So what do? They just wind up living together, and they never make that commitment, which is a whole separate issue. But I'm telling you, a good, wholesome, godly marriage is the way to go. If you guys, any of you are in here today, and you may be struggling in your marriage, and you kind of feel like giving in or giving up, I can confidently tell you that God has never, and God will never give up on you or your marriage. God won't do it. He's not going to back out of it. We just need to trust Him, and we need to humble ourselves, and we need to allow ourselves to break so greatly that we will run to Him. Now, that being said, I also realize that it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. And sometimes a spouse is not willing to invest in the marriage. And who knows why? It could be anger. It could be hurt. It could just be a laziness or an apathy. A lot of it is fear. I want it to make it totally crystal, without a doubt, clear here, though. And we need to understand that in no way does Jesus ever encourage divorce. He doesn't encourage divorce. Again, health, wholesome marriage is His plan. Divorce is not God's idea or plan. See, divorce hurts. I think most of us are probably relatively close in our family or friends circles. Everybody in here has somebody close to them, or they have gone through divorce, right? In this day and age, it just is. That being said, as a pastor and just as I listen to people talk, I have never heard anyone say, man, that was a great divorce. That, it was amazing. The day, man, the sun came up that day and the birds were chirping and we didn't know what was totally going to happen. But then we went in front of that judge and it was just a beautiful time. And from that day forward, I can honestly say our lives are great. It was a great divorce. I don't hear that. Here's what I usually hear. I usually hear statements like, man, it was a messy divorce. That divorce was really hard on everybody. There's a lot of issues that they are dealing with because of the divorce. You know, the kids, they're just not doing good. They don't quite understand about this divorce. See, I have seen way too much hurt in men, in women, in kids, and even grandkids because of divorce. And I can truly say it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart to see divorce or products of divorce or things that happen because of divorce. And I'm an imperfect man. I'm an imperfect pastor. I'm an imperfect husband. I'm just imperfect. And if it hurts my heart, what do you think that does to God's heart? It hurts because of the pain that we are now having to experience and go through. Turn with me in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 13 through 16. It says this, and this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? That's important. A portion of the Holy Spirit in that union. And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. Godly offspring. God brings us together for all sorts of reasons, but man, we get together in a wholesome and godly marriage to produce wholesome and godly kids that shout during service. It's awesome. Let's see, where did I go? Portion of the Spirit of Union. And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and do not be faithless. Violence. When we don't guard ourselves, when we don't invest in our marriage, when we allow ourselves to grow apart and get to that point where we're like, well, we just can't get along anymore. We're parting ways. We're divorcing. This right here is saying you're putting on the garment of violence. Violence is the opposite of peace. And we got to understand those that get caught up in that violence are usually the little people. The little people. Listen, two true believers make a marriage work right. Two true believers make a marriage work right. Because marriage, by God's definition, is two believers and one spirit, right? A cord of three. It's always, whenever I do a wedding, we talk about the covenant that is going on here. And it's not just a man and a wife. It's a man, a wife, and God. It comes together, one flesh, one union, and it is not to be separated except by death. The Holy Spirit will never push a husband and wife apart. Guys need to understand that. You can never blame God for a divorce. God will never do that. God, the Holy Spirit's not the one going, hey, you should go over here. Maybe you should move out. Hey, look at your secretary. Maybe you should pursue that. The Holy Spirit will never do that. Rather, the Holy Spirit will always draw them nearer to him. Holy Spirit will always draw those people nearer to him, and as a result, nearer to each other. Yoked equally with God. God's driving, man. We got to understand in our marriages, God is driving. So we want to be equally yoked. Think about it. Think about that for a second. And if things get rocky and things get rough, know that reconciliation is always God's first plan. It's not always our first plan, is it? We don't always have that first plan. But in marriages, in relationships, in whatever, reconciliation is always God's first plan. But if we look at Scripture and we read these things, we can look at this and we can say, yeah, but Jesus is actually giving permissible reasons to dissolve a marriage. And again, in Matthew 5:32, and again in Matthew 19:19. So biblically speaking, adultery is really the one thing that makes divorce permissible. And we got to understand what Jesus is saying here, though. It makes divorce permissible. It's not an excuse. It's not a way out. It's not his idea. And this is really, we're talking about a spouse that really persists in an adulterous, in adultery and those relationships. It's kind of that habitual thing after thing after thing. Because many, many marriages that have endured that or had to walk through that and they were open to reconciliation have now become much stronger. But if you have one of the spouses and this is their pattern in life, then Jesus says, hey, again, adultery, that makes divorce permissible. And we talked about that stuff last week, didn't we? We talked about adultery last week and how it's tied to idolatry and how the train goes off the tracks when we start doing those things. And oh, by the way, adultery starts with the lust and the intentions in it. And it goes back. If you missed last week's message, jump on the website and listen to it. So is there anything else? Is the only reason that people can get divorced, is the only reason adultery? Is there anything else? Well, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, he kind of adds this second reasoning and this second explanation. In instances where an unbelieving spouse abandons the marriage, right? So you got two people and they are not equally yoked together. One might be a Christian and one is a pseudo-Christian or wants nothing to do with Christianity at all. And that unbelieving person says, you know, I'm done. Unfortunately, with that mindset and where that person is, there's not really an opportunity for reconciliation. That God wants a healthy marriage, but this person is refusing to have a healthy marriage based on God's standards. And this would typically be the case when one of the two partners is maybe converted to Christ at some point after marrying, and the other one refuses to continue in the marriage. That's typically what happens, but I gotta also say that in some marriages, I actually refused to marry a couple. It was my close family. We'll just say that. I don't want to be too specific here, but they came to me and they wanted to get married. And I said, we got to do marriage counseling and all that. And through this marriage counseling, things arose. And I said, I can't marry you guys. And they went to somebody else. And that was an awkward wedding to go to, right? I'm sitting here in the wedding listening to this guy. And I'm like, I refused to do it. And unfortunately that ended in divorce. It was unequally yoked. And the wife was pretty sure that after they got married, she could change the husband, right? You ever see that work? It's like, yeah, I know they're a little wild right now, but once we get married and settle down, oh man, he'll change. He don't change, right? It's got to be established beforehand. So this is that unequally yoked component, but sometimes that happens. And you got one following Jesus and one not following Jesus, and we pray to God that this one over here following Jesus is going to stand strong enough, whereas this one saying, I don't want nothing to do with Jesus, it goes like this, right? And sometimes that happens. So these are really the two biblical reasons that divorce is permissible. Which brings up a great question. What about like physical abuse? What about different types of abuse in marriage? It's like, man, this is an abusive marriage. What are we gonna do? Is divorce permitted biblically? Is divorce permitted there? And I have to believe if we look at this and we really we got to look at each situation differently, right, when it comes to the abuse aspect of it. But I have to believe that in those cases, the spouse that is doing the abusing is obviously not obeying and keeping the example of a scriptural marriage, right? If they're abusing their wife, nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt beat your wife, or thou shalt beat your husband, or thou shalt do any of those things. It's quite the opposite, right? So in terms of that, the abuser, do they have a true and authentic relationship with Christ? Are they listening to the Holy Spirit? Are they being convicted of their behavior? I got to believe that they're not. I got to believe that they've shut that portion of their life down and they have totally excused themselves apart from God, or they have just made that choice that, yeah, I believe in God, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. So my question is always, well, wait a second, are they even a believer? And it's not my my job to judge that, but we can look at the fruits of believers and see how that lines up with how they're acting. And in these cases, has there been that spiritual abandonment of their spouse? If they're abusing that spouse, how does that... It's not simple, is it? So these statements that are being made, adultery, is it a one-time thing? Is it a habitual thing? Is it an over-and-over thing? Even if it's an over-and-over thing, can we still get reconciled to that spouse? Yes, it's going to take work. What about spiritual abandonment? Do I just sit there as the believer and just go on through life and wait for them to finally leave, even though they're probably also... or could be involved in an adulterous relationship, habitual or whatever. If it's an abusive situation, how does that look? Where is their heart? What are they trying to do? Are they open to counseling, to talking to a pastor? Are they in church on Sunday morning, but a Sunday night? Is it the gloves come off and all those different things? See, matters of divorce, they can't be oversimplified and applied as a blanket statement, because here's the problem. As Christians, when we do that, we become condemning and judgmental, don't we? Because we truly don't usually know the entire situation of what's going on. Oh, shoot, somebody just walked in the door and I know them from 20 years ago, and that's a divorcee. That's a divorce. What should we do? Okay, everybody act differently. No, we got a sign out there that says, come as you are. And I want you guys to know that divorce is not the unpardonable sin, right? It's not. So again, it's from this day forward. It's knowledge and wisdom that we're putting into this. It's a huge topic, and it's one that we can kind of have a hard time wrapping our brain around. We need to trust God, but we need to get back to the prior understanding that the best prevention of divorce is a healthy marriage. We don't want to get to the point where we have to go through reconciliation and counseling, because from the start, we were... God, and allowing him to develop in us, because when he develops in us, I love my spouse more. How can I love Amy more? How can I love Amy more? By continuing with the relationship that I have with Jesus, as he pours more and more love into me, as I gain that understanding of how much Christ actually loves me, it gives me the ability to love my wife more, and vice versa. If we will take that and understand that, prevention, health, it keeps us away from the possibility of divorce. But remember, it takes two to tango. It always does. Remember, God's first desire is always reconciliation. Even more, God's desire is that couples never get to that point in the first place. In some cases, especially in those cases of abuse, separation for safety is always recommended. So there can be a separation in marriage. There can be a time apart where they're getting the things that they need. They might be, you know, the divorce, the bad marriage is secondarily to a bigger issue in their life that they need to get through that wasn't recognized in premarital counseling or anything like that. So sometimes this person needs to get right. They need help. They need to to come closer to God before they're ever healthy enough to now interject back into the marriage. So in terms of abuse and in terms of those things, separation is sometimes recommended. Man, I would never say, okay, so your husband is beating your kids, but the Bible says, so you need to let him in at any time, regardless of the safety of the children. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, well, you know what? We need to take some steps. And you guys, since we've been here, I told a couple, they don't go to this church, but they were asking me, and I said, you guys need to separate right now. If you are not willing to separate right now, we're going to get law enforcement involved in this right now. Because there was a safety issue. But that doesn't mean it's an automatic divorce issue. Because again, God wants that reconciliation between husband and wife, but ultimately with Him. Bridge Assembly seeks to obey and be guided by the Bible and the teaching of Jesus. So this is where we need to stand. Hard message. Heck yeah, we've had some hard messages. We've got a few more hard messages. We got about 3 more that are going to be challenging. This is one of those pinnacles right here that's really challenging. But this is what we need to understand. This is what we need to understand in our belief system. God desires husband and wife, marriage between a man and a woman. And part of that is offspring. And we believe in a healthy marriage. And we believe that the greatest enemy to divorce is God involved, steeping His Spirit into that couple. I believe these teachings by Jesus on divorce, I believe that they're not meant to condemn us. I don't think Jesus brought all this up to condemn us, to make us feel terrible, to say, see, I told you so. You're screwed up. You did all. I don't believe that's Jesus' teaching ever. It is to help us understand the importance of the marriage covenant. He's addressing divorce, but what he's really talking about is the importance of the marriage covenant. It has helped us to understand the importance of investing in our marriage. Marriages are hard. They're difficult. They need to be invested in. We can't just say, well, we're married. That's about all. I said I do. We did the wedding. It's all good now, and I don't have to put anything into it. That's also a reflection of our faith, right? Hey, I got saved. I got saved. I prayed the prayer. It's all good. I'm waiting for heaven. 50 years from now, I'm going to breeze into heaven. Between now and 50 years, I don't have to do anything else, do I? Absolutely not. God desires us to grow, and He desires to speak into our lives, and He desires us to be challenged and to live out our calling and things like that. The same is in marriage. It is to help us understand the importance of seeking God first in our marriage. If you're going through a marital problem, if you have a problem with your spouse, the first place you should run is God. The first place is not, oh, I called my mom. I called my friend. Well, I got online and I Googled it. That's not a good thing. The first place we go needs to always be God in our marriages and really in every other aspect of our life. You got a problem at work? Go to God first. Go to God. Go to the boss second. You got a problem inside your body? Go to God first. Go to the doctor second. We do these in order. We need to understand that. And it is also, these teachings of Jesus is also to help us understand the importance of reconciliation. God's plan and His principles or for our health and our wellness. Worship team, if you guys could begin to make your way back up here. God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be well. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be healthy and whole, not only spiritually, which comes when we develop that relationship with Him, when we come to Him in the first place and say, man, I'm just a dirty sinner, and I need you in my life. He begins to make us well spiritually. But it doesn't stop there, because God desires us to be healthy and wholesome on an emotional scale. And from what I see, divorce is the opposite of that. It causes emotional hardships that God has never desired us to have to walk through. And finally, God desires us to be physically well too. Did you know that? Some Christians are just like, man, I love Jesus and the rest is all the way over there. No, God desires the whole spiritual, physical, emotional. So in divorce, the stress that's caused emotionally manifests itself in the physical and all these different things. And we not only see that in the divorced couple, we see that in kids and people that are around them. God doesn't want that for us. That is not His plan. God wants us to prevent. He wants us to avoid. Remember a couple Sundays ago, I said there are pitfalls in life. There are pitfalls that are laid out for us to fall into. And God is back here. Jesus, with His teachings, the Holy Spirit speaking into our lives, says, no, don't go that way. Here's a detour. Don't cross those orange cones. There's caution tape there. Don't go under it or around it. You know, when I go to leave here and I go down the one road and the railroad things go down and the lights are blinking, it tells me, for my health and my survival, stop. Don't try to go around them. And if there's a train going, don't think you can drive through it. Jesus does those same things in our lives. He wants to prevent those things. I want you to absolutely understand and know this morning, we're talking about from this day forward. If you're sitting here today and you're going, man, I'm divorced. What next? And how is that supposed to look? And am I condemned? And can I ever be whole again? And absolutely you can. Because reconciliation starts between you and God. And if you've achieved that, don't dwell on those things in our past that we no longer have control over. Rather, let's focus on the things that we do have control over. So if you're sitting here today and saying, man, my marriage is kind of rocky. It's not what I wanted. It's not what it used to be. Involve God. Involve God in that. And number two, involve godly believers in that. Find somebody. Guys, if you're sitting here going, man, my marriage stinks. My wife doesn't understand me. Find another godly man and begin to express that and share that and see what happens. Women, same thing. Find God first. Second, find a godly woman who will give you godly counsel. That's the important part. And let's just watch what God wants to do. There's nothing and nobody too far gone that is living and breathing on this earth. There's nobody too far gone that God doesn't say at any second, the instant of any second, come on back, come on back. I'm going to breathe life into you. I'm going to breathe life into this marriage. It's never too late. Don't give up. Involve God in every part of your life, in every part of your marriage, in every part of your family, in every part of your job, in every part of your friends. Let God come in and let's just see what He can do. Can we do that? Can we do that? Why don't you guys stand up with me? We are going to pray. We are going to open these altars to pray, to pray with others, to dance, to sing, to worship God, whatever it may be, come on forward. Let's. I would love for Monday to come around and we would just, this, the altar would be the dirtiest place in the church. Again, physically, but also spiritually, because you guys have dumped those cares on the altar and you've walked out free. You've walked out light. You've walked out with less candy wrappers, and you can tell the kids were up here. And we need to get to that point, right? Let's get to that point. Let's get well ourselves so we can start helping those in the community to get well. There's too many young couples that are getting divorced and they shouldn't. There's too many young couples that are getting married for the wrong reasons. There's too many couples that are living together because they're afraid of divorce. What a horrible place to live. To live in fear. Well, we're not going to get married because we see what happens and we're afraid. You don't live that way. We don't live that way. So these altars are going to open up. Like always, they're going to open up. And if you don't feel comfortable this morning, get with somebody. Get with a godly friend that can give you counsel after getting with God. We can do that, right? Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. Lord God, and we thank you that you love us so much, that you do want us to be healthy and wholesome. Lord God, we are not an afterthought. We are not just a number to you. We are not just a, hey, look how many people I got following me, Satan. That is not who you are. You care about us individually. You want us to be more than we could ever want for ourselves. You want us to walk through life with health and wholesomeness. And with the Holy Spirit flowing through us in an alive and vibrant way. Lord God, the past is the past, Lord God. And Lord God, in each one of us, help us to reconcile the past. But Lord God, in no way should we live and be affected by past decisions. Help us to look to the future. Help us to look forward. Help us to use our experiences that we've had in the past to help people now and in the future. Lord God, I pray for hearts in here. I pray for people who have gone through divorce. I pray for people who are a product of divorce. I pray for those that are contemplating divorce or even have that as an option in their life. Holy Spirit, I ask you to touch them right now. Lord God, touch them right now. And let us walk out of this building and breathe a fresh breath of your air and stop condemning our own selves because of our past. And looking forward to the things that you are doing in us individually and collectively. Lord God, let us be salt and light in this community. Let us be a beacon of hope in this community. And Lord God, grant us each an audience to talk about how amazing you are and how great your love is. We pray all this in our King, the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.